Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Embrace. So grateful you've chosen to worship the Lord this morning here with this particular family. We are a family here. And if you are new among us, if I've not met you before, I would love to be able to say hello at some point today, and hopefully you'll get to meet other folks around you as well. But it is so good to have you all here this morning. I just want to remind you that you have the opportunity to grab an announcement sheet off the welcome tables. So those are at both doors. If you didn't get one when you came in, you can grab it when you go out. But that helps you know everything that's going on here in our community. We also have all of the Holy Week events listed out now, so you can mark your calendars for those. It's coming up really fast, y'all, at the end of this month. So we get to celebrate. At the end of Lent comes Easter, and so we are headed that direction together. And then you can also get on our email list if you would like to receive the announcements in a digital copy. And you can do that by filling out a Connect card. These great blue cards in front of you in the pews are a great way to communicate with us. So you can check a box down here if you want to be on the email list. There's also a QR code if you want to give online this morning. And on the back, you can tell us if you want information about lots of different things or share a prayer request. So there's lots of great ways to communicate using this morning. If you would like to fill this out, and if you want to give this morning, there are boxes at the back and to the side over here, and you can just put those items in those boxes. You can also always give online at embraceyourcity.com/give, and you can always send prayer requests to prayer@embraceyourcity.com, and our prayer team will be lifting those up, but also keeping them confidential. We really believe in the power of prayer here. So if you have come bearing something this morning, know that you do not have to bear it alone. I also want to remind you that we have a stream of this service that's going on in the cafe, which is the room right across the hall out this door. And so if at any point during the service it would be helpful for you to slip out, maybe take a sensory break or just have a little bit more space, you can continue to participate in the service in the cafe. And I think that is all my announcements this morning. We will get started with some worship together.
Good morning. I invite you all to stand as you're able this morning for our call to worship. O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Jesus,
are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth, Jesus. You are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth, Jesus. 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 Let's sing that chorus one more time. We're just going to repeat the name of Jesus.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
We know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ. Let us in freedom confess the wrong we have done. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, what we're going to do now is we're just going to spend a few moments talking with each other, sharing our gratitude and also our lament, if we have that as well. So basically, y'all can just form groups with 3, 4, 5 people around you. Share your name. If you have something you're grateful for this morning, share that as well. If you have a lament this morning, something that's not sitting right with you, something you're going through or facing, something in the world that's upsetting you or causing you a lot of sadness or grief, then you can share that as well. So why don't y'all just take a few minutes to do that, and we'll invite you back in just a moment. All right, if y'all want to take maybe like 30 seconds, so just start wrapping up conversations. I'll call you back together in just a moment. All right, if y'all want to come back together, and I'll invite you all to stand as you're able, we're going to continue to worship.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again.
Sing that again. Take a moment.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. I come up under the yoke of Jesus. Yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. I come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light.
So take a moment.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. I come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. I come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. Burden is so light.
Sing, you're lifting my load.
You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. No longer am I held. this world. I come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. I come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light.
I sing, your love carries me through.
Your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places. Your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places. Your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again.
Take a moment.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, 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 and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing how great is our God.
Sing that again.
And how great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God.
God, we are grateful to be here with you today. God, we're grateful for the way that you're here with us. And God, we just want to lift up your name today. And we pray, God, that we would have increased faith today as we sing these songs about your greatness and how big and how mighty and how good you are. And how also you are so close to us and you are a friend to us and you'll even come alongside of us to help lift our loads. I pray as we sing these words, we would believe them more and that our faith would increase and that as we leave here, we would feel more emboldened to continue on in this work of the gospel that you have called us all to do. God, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for lifting us up as we lift up our praises to you. Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said together,
amen.
Amen. Y'all may have a seat. Right now, I'm going to dismiss our children for their time of learning in the Wonder Room. And so if you are a child, 4 years old, all the way up through fifth grade, then you are invited to go to the Wonder Room with our faithful volunteers. Parents, if you're here with a child in that range and you've never taken your child there before, then we ask you walk with them, introduce yourself to the teachers, make sure you have the correct paperwork filled out. But let's give our kids and our volunteers a hand as they come up this morning. And as they're making their way up, I'm going to transition here down to the floor. I'd love to share just a couple of quick things with you this morning from our announcements. I want to just highlight that Holy Week is coming up fairly soon. At the end of this month is when we get to that point. And so it's just a couple weeks away. And so we have some extra kind of things we do during Holy Week, kind of that week leading up to Easter. We're going to have a special Good Friday service, which will be on Friday, March 29th. And it's going to be at 6:30 p.m., and we're actually going to do that in our chapel, which is right over here. It's where we had our class this morning, and we're really excited about that. Laban is going to lead that service for us, and I really look forward to kind of experiencing whatever they come up with and how they can really help us to truly enter into reflecting on the cross and what that means for us. And it's going to be kind of a somber service. It'll be a heavier service. We're not going to talk about the resurrection on Good Friday. We're really going to sit in the cross and the crucifixion and what that really means for us and for our world and really show how much God truly does love us. Then on Easter, we have three things we're doing. It's going to be a busy morning, so I will have great respect for any of you all who join me in participating in all three, okay? So we're going to do a sunrise service at 7 a.m., and that'll be outside. We've done that for a few years now, and it's been a really just beautiful, simple service together as we watch the sunrise and lift up praise to God, the resurrected Christ, on that morning. So that'll be at 7 a.m. outside on Easter Sunday. And then we're going to have at 9:30 here in our fellowship hall, we're going to have a breakfast for Easter together. And so I'm really excited about that. And then after breakfast, we will come up and we'll worship together at 11 a.m. right here in our sanctuary. And it's going to be an all-ages Easter service. And when we say all ages, we mean that they're all going to be involved, all right? This is not just a way we market this so that we can say the nursery's closed, okay? Which it is. We are not having nursery or Wonder Room, but it truly is an all ages service. If you were here last year, it was awesome. We had a whole processional around our sanctuary, children's moment up here where we did our Wonder Room story in the front. The kids are going to participate in the music a little bit. And so we've got a lot of fun stuff planned for Easter Sunday. And so it will be a wild, loud, awesome service, but I'm very excited about it. I'm not going to preach very long, don't worry. And so we'll just have a really fun experience on Easter. So if you have any questions about any of that, just let us know. On Easter Sunday, we wanted to make sure all of our volunteers and everybody get to be in here and celebrate the resurrection. You could argue it's the most important Sunday in the whole year in the Christian calendar, and so we're going to have all our families in here together. If you have screaming babies, it's totally fine. It's going to be fun. Don't stress about that. And then I also just wanted to highlight one more thing that I kind of forgot, so maybe I'll think of it another time. But it's going to be good. Y'all get your announcement sheets. Actually, I remember what it was now that I'm saying that. So last week we gave a budget presentation, and I have some of these somewhere. I don't know where they are, but I have these little commitment cards that we have that are not to turn back in, but if you want to take one home just to pray through how you can support our church financially in this new year that we are in, then now I can give you one of those if you're interested. But on that, it also has a financial update from last year and also a presentation brief on our budget for this year. If you missed that last Sunday and want that information and want to talk about any of that stuff, Dustin Pugel is right back here. He did our presentation last week. He will be the first person to talk to. If you can't find him, then I will be more than happy to talk to you as well about any of that stuff. So just let me know if you're interested in learning. And you can go back and watch it actually on our stream on YouTube or on our Facebook page. I know I already said a brief prayer this morning, but I do want to have another moment just to sit and to be quiet in prayer this morning. And so if anybody would like to join me up at the altar, you're welcome to, or you can stay in your seats and pray from there. But let's just have a moment of silence, a moment to kind of settle our bodies and our minds and our spirits down just a bit. Perhaps you just want to focus on your breath. Sometimes when we're quiet, we don't know what to think about or what to focus on. Maybe you just want to focus on breathing. Maybe if there's a short scripture that you know that you could just repeat in your mind, you could do that as well. Maybe you have a bit of a mantra that you use throughout your week. You could say that silently to yourself. But let's just take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts to enter into prayer. Lord, we are grateful for this opportunity this morning to come together, to take just a moment, to remember who we are, to remember who you are, to remember who we belong to remember that we have been adopted and brought into your family. We thank you for this time to take a moment just to remember how loved we really are. To remember that we are known, that we are seen, and that we are okay with you. I imagine many of us feel a bit shaky this morning, a bit rattled, a bit unsure, uncertain, perhaps afraid or stressed or angry. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us just to lean back into you today, that when we cannot stand, that, Lord, we could fall into your arms, and that you would hold us, that we could fall back into our community here, and that we could hold one another, that we could truly make space for each other in our lives. Lord, we pray this morning that you would give us all humility just to see ourselves for who we are, that God, we would see ourselves as deeply loved and forgiven, that we wouldn't think of ourselves too highly, but we also wouldn't look at ourselves too poorly. That we would see ourselves as people who are loved by you, who bear your image, who are on this journey of redemption. Help us to accept ourselves as we accept each other. Lord, today there is so much to lament. There is so much hardship. There's so much sickness and violence and death around us. There's so much pain. Our hearts break, God, as we can see the continued just new cycle of suffering and starvation and devastation and tragedy. God, we long for your peace. We long for your shalom. We long for a world where everybody has enough. We long for a world where we see people healed and we see miracles happen. Where we long for a world where the hungry are satisfied, where those who suffer don't suffer any longer. And God, we have our doubts and we wonder, God, where you are sometimes in the midst of all the pain. And God, even in the midst of the confusion and the struggle, we pray that we could have eyes to see, God, Have eyes to see you, Lord, even in the midst of the pain and the horror and the seeming hopelessness that we are experiencing. Help us, God, to have some hope, that we could hope against hope right now in this critical moment, God, that we are living in. Lord, we desperately need you. We pray you would be with us today, that you would challenge us, encourage us, inspire us, lift us up, Lord, so that we can leave here and continue your work, continue the gospel work that you've called us to do. Right in our own families and in our communities and even across our world. Now we join together and we say this prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So those of you who've been here for the last few weeks, you may recall earlier in my sermon series on the book of Mark how I told you all that it's important as we read Mark to pay attention to location. Pay attention to the places where things happen. Not just what happens, but pay attention to where things happen, because place really does matter in Mark's gospel. I'll give you some examples. Houses in the Gospel of Mark, they're not just homes for families, but they're really like these safe spaces for reflection and renewal and recharge. And so you see Jesus kind of going out into the cities, going out and doing ministry, battling against evil spirits, all this stuff, but then often he'll retreat, and the disciples will retreat into homes to get away. The synagogue or the temple, you know, they're not just religious places for worship in Mark, but for Mark, he sees these places as a primary place of conflict for Jesus, and even is drawing out that there was some oppression going on in some of these synagogues and even in the temple in Jerusalem. The wilderness for Mark is not just a beautiful and rustic place outside of town, but the wilderness is this place that's really outside of the halls of power, where the poor, where they organize and they connect, and really where this Jesus revolution finds its beginnings and its power. The sea or the lake, when you read about Mark, it's not just a place to fish or to go on a ride on a boat. You know, it's a place really of struggle, of boundary breaking, of fear. So when you see the sea crossings, they often encounter storms when they're crossing these seas, because it's seen really as a boundary marker between different groups of people. And so it's a place of struggle. Today we're going to talk about another place, and it's a bit more abstract maybe than the other places in Mark, but I think it's really the most important, and that is the way. We're going to talk about the way. Now the way is kind of a road or a path that leads from one place to another. But for Mark, that's not all the way is. The way has a deeper meaning. For Mark, the way is really the place of discipleship. It is where you find disciples. You find disciples of Jesus on the way. So the question for today that we're going to try to wrestle with a little bit is, are you on the way? Are you on the way with Jesus? Jesus called ordinary people like you and like me to follow him. That was his invitation. His invitation was not, hey, come believe in me, or come here, learn about all these doctrines about God and come be a part of my community. No, his invitation was to follow him. And literally, these people that he called, they dropped what they were doing and they followed Jesus, literally, along paths and roads from town to town, from place to place. They didn't have vehicles. They would walk from place to place. They were on the move, literally, on the move with Jesus. Though as they were moving around on these paths, something deeper was happening. Not only were they literally following Jesus around from place to place, but they were also learning to follow a new way of life. Jesus was teaching them through his example. Their discipleship was not learning about doctrines about God. Maybe they learned some of that, but it was really a school on the road. They were learning a new way of life, a new way of being and acting and working in this violent and messed up world. Jesus was a really good teacher. He knew that he needed to model for his students how they ought to live in this world. Beginning in chapter 8 of Mark, Christina pointed this out last week, that chapter 8 is really kind of a hinge point for Mark. We move into a new section. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 8, you start to notice the mood shifts a little bit. Starts to get a little darker. There's more conflict. There's more intensity. Jesus starts talking about some things that the disciples thought was a bit out there and too much. He starts to talk about how he's going to die, how he's going to suffer and be arrested and be tortured. He's saying some really hard things. The mood starts to change. And one thing Mark starts doing in this latter part of the gospel is he starts to be pretty hard on the disciples. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all about Jesus and the disciples, Mark is probably the hardest on the disciples out of all of them. Now, Mark was a follower of Jesus himself, and so maybe he felt like he could be hard on them because these were his people. But Mark is very clear that the disciples did not get it right very often, and that they had lots of failures and lots of misunderstandings. Christina talked about that for us last week as well. And in these chapters, Mark begins to make something, I believe, really clear. That staying on the way with Jesus is really, really hard. It's not easy to stay on the way with Jesus. You know, Jesus told a parable about this very thing that we read about in the first part of Mark, in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. Do y'all know this parable? It's a really profound and deep parable that we could wrestle with for a long time, but I just want to mention it. In this parable, the farmer in the story goes and scatters seed along the path. Some of the seed fell beside the way. Other seeds fell among the rocky soil. Some fell among the thorns, and some fell in good soil and was able to take root and grow. And the parable is meant to teach us about the obstacles to discipleship, the things that get in the way and prevent us from following the way of Jesus. And then we fast forward to chapters 8 through 16, and we're given real life examples of what these obstacles are that Jesus was talking about. We see examples of actual people who seem to be snatched up from beside the way, like this story of Satan snatching up this seed from beside the way. We see examples of shallow faith that's been sown in rocky soil. We see examples of wealth choking out the commitment to follow Jesus' call. We see many obstacles that lead the disciples to mess up and to fall away and get off track. And I wonder for you all, like, as you think about it, what obstacles do you face when trying to stay on the way of Jesus? You know, a continuing conversation we have here at our church as leaders, we've been talking about this for years, is how our community can help each other grow as disciples. We are I think we do a great job at welcoming people in. It doesn't matter who you are, we're gonna welcome you into this church. But we're always trying to discern and figure out together how we can help each other grow into actual disciples of Jesus, not just believers in Jesus, but disciples who are following in his way. Some of you have even mentioned to us that you want to be discipled and you're looking for that in your life. You know, in some faith traditions, when someone like wants to become a Christian or get involved, they'll have kind of a catechism or a confirmation kind of thing that they go through where they learn usually about kind of all the doctrines of the faith. They'll learn about all the different beliefs about the church, about salvation, about sin, about humanity, about the world, all these different kind of big, heavy concepts about the church, and you really learn the beliefs of your particular denomination or congregation, and at the end, when you feel like you've kind of gotten through it all, then you join the church or you make that profession of faith. I know students who've been through a Catholic version of this, and they were quizzed at the end. They had to take an actual test, basically, to say that they understood the doctrines and the beliefs of their church. In the United Methodist Church, young people often go through something called confirmation, and then they make a public profession of faith after they're finished. And I think about Mark's catechism or Mark's discipleship class. I think it would look a little bit different than what we do today. And that's one of our challenges here as we figure this out, because we want to be more than just teaching people the stuff in the head, but we want us all to like be able to grow and become actual disciples. For Mark, you don't learn to be a disciple through studying doctrines in a classroom. For Mark, a disciple must learn along the way. It's a traveling school on the road, learning by listening and studying, but also by doing and practicing your faith. The invitation Jesus offered to people was not only to believe in him, but the invitation was to come and follow, to come and watch and learn along the way. In chapter 8 of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus asked Peter a very important question. He says, "Peter, who do you say I am?" And Peter responds with an important confession of faith. He says, "You are the Messiah." I mean, this is big. This is the first time they had said something like this. And Peter, he had 8 chapters, and that covers a lot of time with Jesus, that he had learning about Jesus, and he came to this fundamental belief about Jesus, that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. Good job, Peter. Way to go. You got it. Or did he get it right? We're not sure, because if you read later, we're going to get into it. Peter shows us just a few moments later that he still had a lot to learn. Jesus then tells his disciples that he must suffer, and eventually he is going to be killed. Now, this was big news for the disciples. They had a hard time accepting this. No one would have expected that their Messiah was going to be killed and suffer this quickly. They were looking for a revolution, something to really change their existence in this world. They were reflecting probably on the Maccabees and these warriors that came before them, and they wanted their Messiah probably to be like that. They were hoping for a rise to power. And so when Peter hears Jesus say this, that he's going to suffer and die, Peter intervenes. He pulls Jesus aside and rebukes Jesus for saying such things. I don't know. I think Jesus is very loving for sure, but I would be reluctant to rebuke Jesus like that. But Peter, he did, because he did not like the idea of a Messiah suffering. And Jesus did not want Peter trying to tell him what to do, because that was Jesus' job. So Jesus says something to Peter that shows clearly the correct place for a disciple. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, that's a really intense thing for Jesus to say to Peter. And these sound like harsh words. But what is happening here, I think, is exactly what the parable of the sower was warning against. Satan tries to subvert Peter's commitment to Jesus. Satan, in a way, wants Peter to be like the seed that fell beside the path and stay beside the way, maybe cheering Jesus on and saying kind and good things about Jesus, but not following Jesus all the way to the cross. Satan doesn't want Peter to submit to the way of Jesus. So Jesus rebukes Peter, and he reminds him of his place in the movement. "Your job is to be behind me," Jesus says. "Get behind me. Peter, your job is to follow me. I'm not here to follow your agenda or any agenda in this world. I've come to bring the agenda of the Father in heaven, and I need my followers to follow me along and trust me on this." Peter's confession that Jesus was the Messiah ultimately has no value or meaning if he's not willing to take up his cross and follow Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus, I think, is less about the confession of faith and more about the imitation of Christ. It is less about the confession of faith and more about the imitation of Christ. It is less about admiring Jesus and more about following Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, we read about two men who were along the way. We hear this place of the way. One of them is a rich man who came to Jesus along the way. You may know this story. Some of the Gospels call him the rich young ruler. But this rich man was along the way. He came to Jesus. He admired Jesus. He thought Jesus was special. And he came to Jesus wanting to seek eternal life. And he admired Jesus. He said good things to him. But the rich man had a lot of wealth. And he owned many properties, while many people were suffering in poverty around him. Jesus loved this man, and he invited him to follow him. But the rich man refused because he wasn't willing to right his wrongs and share his wealth with the poor. He is like that seed thrown among the thorns that this parable tells us about. That the thorns or the wealth came around and choked him. It put a stranglehold on his faith and prevented him from being a faithful disciple. He admired Jesus, but refused to follow Jesus. This is the only discipleship rejection story that we find in Mark. The second man that Jesus meets in chapter 10 along the way is a blind man who was outside of Jerusalem in the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho is kind of the last stop as you journey up towards Jerusalem if you're coming from that part, that way. I'm in the land. And so there was a long, kind of windy, dangerous path that led up to Jerusalem. And there were likely lots of beggars who would wait in Jericho because there were a lot of passerbys going to the city. And if you're going to the city, there's a good chance maybe you have more resources. So they're there asking for help. Hey, they knew the spot. Like, we need help. This is the place we're going to be. And so this blind man was there at this pass by waiting for someone that could help him. He heard that this man, Jesus, was coming to the spot where he begged in Jericho. This man admired Jesus. He had lots of respect for Jesus. He knew Jesus had power. And he went to Jesus and he asked for help. And Jesus called him. And the man went to Jesus. He threw his possessions aside. His only possession was his cloak, and he was willing to give that up, contrasted to the wealthy man who couldn't give up any of his possessions. And he fell at Jesus' feet. Jesus healed him of his blindness and then also invited him into community to follow him along the road. Now, this man actually followed Jesus even when he knew that path up to Jerusalem was a dangerous path with possible violence. He followed anyway. He was a follower, not just an admirer of Jesus. Two very different stories in Mark. One man wanted to stand beside the way, learn from Jesus, admire him. But the other man radically reoriented his life around following the way of Jesus, even when that path potentially was leading to danger. Mark holds nothing back in his gospel. And I think I see it as pretty clear to me that to be a disciple is to follow Jesus on the way. Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote this back in the 1800s, and he could not articulate this better. It is well known that Christ consistently used the expression follower. He never asked for admirers, worshipers, or adherents. No, he calls disciples. It is not adherents of a teaching, but followers of a life Christ is looking for. Jesus came to be the pattern, to leave footprints for the person who would join him, who would become a follower. The admirer never makes any true sacrifices. He always plays it safe. Though in words, phrases, songs, he is inexhaustible about how highly he prizes Christ. He renounces nothing, will not reconstruct his life, and will not let his life express what it is he supposedly admires. Not so for the follower. No, the follower aspires to be, with all his strength, what he admires. Jesus didn't ask people to worship him or to admire him. He called people to follow him. He showed them a way of life, a pattern for us to follow. I love that, leaving footprints for those who want to follow and discover this new life, to follow this path he laid out. As followers, we are invited to reconstruct our life around Jesus in this boundary-breaking lifestyle of love. to confess Jesus as Lord and Messiah, to sing his praise and give him honor. It requires a commitment to follow the way of Jesus in tangible, loving ways in our public and our private lives. As Kierkegaard said, the follower aspires with all their strength to be what they admire. I want y'all to reflect just for a moment with me. Are you on the way with Jesus? Or perhaps you feel like you're more standing kind of beside the way, cheering Jesus on, but maybe you're reluctant to follow and to truly get behind Jesus and follow him on the path that he's laid out before you. I think that's a question we got to ask all the time, right? Because it's very tempting and we will always kind of fall off sometimes. Sometimes we get way off the path and we're not just standing beside. Maybe we've walked way far away. But I want y'all to reflect on, do you feel like you're on the way with Jesus? Are you trying to sit under his teaching and follow in his example? That's what we've been trying to do in the whole Gospel of Mark. This is really the essence of what Mark is all about. And the second question is, what obstacles are preventing you from following the way of Jesus in your day-to-day life? And sometimes we can identify the obstacles pretty easily, but then the next question is harder. What are you going to do about it? It's really hard to get to that point and say, well, I'm actually going to make some changes. And I struggle with that, and I know that all of you probably do as well. I love this idea of transforming initiatives. What transforming initiative can you make? Can you take to make a change? Like, what step do you need to take that could lead to transformation for yourself and potentially for others in your life? So I'll just leave that on the screen for just a moment as I start preparing for communion. And I just encourage you all to reflect on that just for a minute as we transition into our time of communion. When I read the Gospels and I read about Jesus and his call, particularly in Mark and some of our texts that we were exploring a little bit today, like sometimes I feel a little overwhelmed because it's like a high calling, right? Jesus is not, following Jesus, it's a challenging path to follow, right? And Mark makes it clear it's hard to stay on the path. And sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming. It can feel like, man, this is too much. This is too hard. But I always have to remember that and remind myself that following the way of Jesus means we get to be close to Jesus. And it also means that, like, if all of us who claim Christ are following the path as well, then we don't follow Jesus alone, right? We get to follow with each other. We get to be on mission together. And it's really, I found so much life and joy and peace when I feel like I'm truly following the way of Jesus and I'm doing it in community. Like, it actually feels really good to know that I'm serving and loving alongside other people, and I feel closer to Christ when I'm following in his path. And I just truly believe that, you know, we sang the song about the yoke is easy and the burden is light, and it's hard because it also is hard at the same time. It's this paradox. But I do believe that the way of Jesus is the best path for this world. And you know, I believe the way of Jesus is a beautiful and good path to follow. And the good thing about following Jesus is he is so full of grace. Like, he has such intense words for Peter in that moment. And Peter messes up multiple times after that in the most profound and public ways you could imagine. Yet, this same person, Jesus says to Peter, I want you to help me build the church. And he told Peter, I love you, I love you, I love you. Feed my sheep, Peter, come on. Like, he was there for Peter, showing him grace and forgiveness all along the way. And so there is grace for the journey. And so I want myself to focus on is just trying to stay as close to Jesus as I can. And not getting wrapped up if I make mistakes or ask forgiveness and keep moving forward. Repair damage if you've done that. But we got to stay on that path with Christ. And it's a beautiful and loving path where God is with us every step of the way. And when we take communion, we remember that Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to go all the way to the cross and suffer so much because he loves us and he loves this world. Let me say a prayer for us. God, thank you so much for being with us today. I thank you for just the gift of your love and your presence and the grace that you give us. We also are so grateful that you don't just take it easy on us. Like you want us to grow and you want us to change and you want us to be the best and fullest version of ourselves that we can be. And God, I thank you that you care enough about us to challenge us. That God, you care enough about us to teach us and to model for us and to leave those footprints for us to follow. You didn't have to do that. You could have just let us all destroy ourselves here. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you humbled yourself, that you emptied yourself and came down and walked among us and ultimately went to the cross and poured out your life in order to defeat death and usher in this new life and this possibility of change and transformation and recreation. And Lord, we are so grateful that you promise us that you will return. And we long for that day and we try to stand on those promises. That you will return one day and set all this right. We pray you would pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and juice and whatever those at home have set aside for this purpose, that it would be for us the body and blood of Christ. Fill us up today in a fresh way. We pray we leave here changed because we've encountered you, the living God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are helping me serve communion to come forward. Just give me a moment to get them ready, and then I'll invite you up. Y'all are invited to come whenever you feel led, and so take your time, and everybody's welcome to come and partake in this sacred practice with us, and we'll spend some time worshiping as you come forward. God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green with quiet streams. And even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me, you are with me. Your shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, will follow me in the house of God forever.
God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green, by quiet streams. And even while I'm walking through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me, you are with me. The shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, will follow me in the house of God forever. In the house of God forever. House of God forever. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. Turning back.
Let's all stand together and sing that one more time.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Well, if y'all prepare your hearts to receive the benediction, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Go in God's peace. See you next time.